All right, we are live back at for college to combine. Man, what a great day. Now, you're going to have to excuse me. My voice is a little bit going to be raspy today. Woke up on the wrong side of the bed, so to speak. But you're also going to notice that I'm not here with Riley Millett as usual, where I'm here with Nick Groll at run_the_Sims on Twitter. So thank you for stepping in. We ran a podcast, weekly podcast during the season. We've taken a couple months off, but now we're back at it, crushing it. How's it going?
Yeah, dude, the Monday night hammer. We'll be back. We'll be back. It's good. It's good to see you. Took a little hiatus from fantasy football, which is good. It's healthy. But I mean, we got all this news. When you called me up and asked me to be on the show, I was super excited. I'm doing all right, man. Just going to start digging into some numbers here as they roll in. We're going to be able to talk about the combine a little bit, but I mean, I think we're going to focus a lot on news because there's a lot of interesting situations. We had some big, we're not talking about pawns moving down the board. Okay. We're talking about like people were moving queens around. When we're talking about queens, we're talking about quarterbacks, and there's the news tag. You got a fancy new news trick there, huh?
I did. I came prepared this week, a little bit more prepared than I usually am. And you know, last week we did say, me and Riley, we decided next week, this, you know, today, we're going to break down the wide receivers of this class. Plans change. Man plans, God laughs type of thing. This week, all of the stuff that Nick just said, the Russell Wilson trade, the Carson Wentz trade, the Rodgers deal, franchise tag, the combine, that's not something we want to skim over. That's something we're going to dive into right now as well. Yeah, so you want to start off with Russell Wilson?
Yeah, that one to me is probably the most interesting. So I got a couple questions for you. I think that's a good way to start this off because I think it's like the situations that just happened. So Russell Wilson is, we just talked about this, a top, and people are gonna argue about the number. It doesn't matter. He is a quarterback, let's say top six to top eight, fantasy football quarterback and real life quarterback. Not that that matters for what I care about. Question from college to combine, is this purely fantasy football or are you guys looking at it from a real perspective?
So it's a bit of both. We're obviously taking a fantasy angle. We are lucky to be on, for frequency sake, putting it out here. IDP guys joining us this week as well, posting it out there. So we are obviously taking it from a fantasy perspective, but I think a lot of times in this pre-draft notion, with these trades, I do want to break down fantasy. With these pre-draft things, though, before we know landing spots, I want to know if the player is good. Because if the player is good, they're going to get draft capital. Yeah. If they get draft capital, we're interested for fans. So it all kind of ties
together. It's an interesting question because, like, I mean, as our fantasy football, as the league becomes more data-driven, the gap between, like, fantasy football metrics and, like, real-life metrics, you're going to start to see them bleed together. And I know there's some purists out there that just vomited, but I mean, that's just the way the world's going. But regardless, we have Russell Wilson. He's a dynasty QB1. That's a good way. Everyone that's watching the show understands that. He's someone that, like, if you have him in your QB1 slot, you're not looking to fix that situation, right? If you're sitting with Melvin Gordon as your RB2, guilty, you're looking to fix that situation. So we've established his value in that. I'm curious, who's the last quarterback like that to change teams? Because we had another quarterback change, which is not the same.
Yeah.
And who's the last quarterback to change teams like that?
Yeah, and people can make the argument of whether Matt Stafford was that guy a year ago. And what all these moves are is trying to emulate what the Rams just did. The Rams just made this move. They made shifting decisions. And in one offseason, they got over the hump. They won a Super Bowl with Matt Stafford. Now, Matt Stafford didn't win a Super Bowl. He didn't have playoff experience like Russell Wilson had. So, and obviously, Russell Wilson cost more than Matt Stafford did. And part of that is what Stafford did. But that Russell Wilson, I don't think we haven't really seen someone like Russell Wilson been traded.
Yeah, because I would say Matt Stafford is someone who did have Matt Stafford post Rams trade on my dynasty team, and I traded him away. I traded him away at like high end QB2 value, which I think is fair. And you have like Russ Wilson's like definitely more valuable than that. But I think it's similar, like in terms of like what effect does that quarterback have when that quarterback leaves said team, I think the gap there is smaller. Okay, the gap in fantasy football terms might be wider than that, but in terms of like what does that do to the surrounding team environment that they're leaving and going to? So Matt Stafford left Detroit, disaster, right? And he went to the Rams, and it was a huge upgrade. So that to me is, we're going to see something similar happen here, which we can now dive into like what happens to the pieces. Russell Wilson is leaving Seattle. All
Yep,
right.
that's yeah.
Before we talk about what
I'll
happens to
go.
Denver, what who is the biggest loser here on Seattle?
On Seattle, well, let me before we break it down, let me actually say what happened because this trade had so many moving pieces. So Seattle sent Russell Wilson and a fourth for the following: Drew Lock, Noah Fant, Shelby Harris, a 22 first, which I believe is the number 9 overall pick. A 23 first, a 2 second, a 22 fifth, and a 23 second. All of that was put in there. And yet the biggest loser is Pete Carroll because I can't see him. I mean, actually, I mean, the team committed to him, but I don't know how Pete Carroll survives the next couple of years without Russell Wilson. I don't know what route they see where this old guy can get it done without they're, I think they seriously underrated how important Russell Wilson is, which is shocking given what he's done. So the real biggest loser is probably Tyler Lockett, as much as I do like him, because of that brain power that Lockett and Russell Wilson had one of the best connections in the league. That's been touted about for
Oh,
years,
yeah, I did.
about having the perfect passer rating, having just connection. And all of a sudden that's all thrown apart.
This, I love this trade because a lot of really cool, like, it's raised a lot of really cool questions, right? So you mentioned Tyler Lockett, pretty big loser in this, which I disagree. I
Okay.
disagree. Because I think it's an interesting thing here. Who, I think it's clear, DK and Lockett, both losers. Okay. I have something to share with the people about Tyler Lockett here in a second, but DK and Lockett obviously are their ADP is going to plummet compared to what it was last year when Tyler Lockett probably is would have been underrated as a whatever fifth, sixth round pick again if with Russell Wilson. DK Metcalf probably would have creeped up into the second round again at some point, even after a down year. Like people know how these wide receiver career trajectories typically go. But all that said, value is dropping. We're going to see DK, let's say, I don't know, in the fifth round, fourth round.
Fifth,
He is
sixth.
Cortland Sutton. He's Cortland Sutton, right? He's Cortland Sutton on, I don't want to say on steroids, but like he is a big bodied down the field threat that goes up and gets it, who now has Drew Lock throwing him the ball. You know what I mean? Like that was Cortland Sutton literally last year. So Cortland Sutton, I think DK is better than him, obviously. So I think that he will be able to create more opportunities for himself. So let's say he's Cortland Sutton. Like plus, you know, and I that's sad to me. That's sad
It
because
is.
I think that Russell Wilson's down the field accuracy, which is among the best in the league, if not the best in the league. We'll talk about hand size later. 10 and a half inch hands, the largest in the league at 5'10", right? His the ball he throws and the amount of opportunities DK Metcalf got in the end zone is why DK Metcalf is DK Metcalf. Okay. Tyler Lockett, on the other hand, is the type of player that I think Drew Lock will lean on because he will get open in the intermediate area. And I mean Russell Wilson stepping into a lot he has a Jerry Jeudy who I think is Tyler Lockett plus. Okay. That was a lot to cover, but basically my argument is DK Metcalf is the bigger loser because he needs Russell Wilson more than Tyler Lockett needs Russell Wilson.
And I think it's just they need him equally, and DK is a better chance of ripping off a big play. So cost will definitely matter. Where if Tyler Lockett goes significantly later, then maybe he could convince me. But DK Metcalf, for reference, averaged 13 yards per catch last season. Tyler Lockett averaged 16. Tyler was the downfield guy. He was making those big catches, and that's where it gets hurt. Where Russell
Okay.
Wilson's deep ball disappears. And for a quarterback that couldn't support anyone last season, I think it's really just across the board, I'm pretty hands-off of Seattle.
You dunked on me. You dunked on me with that stat, and I don't appreciate it.
I just found it right now.
I told you I'm just getting back into this. But I digress. Tape guy, not a numbers guy, because you dunked on me on numbers. From the eye test, you know that Tyler Lockett creates space more than DK Metcalf. Because he has to. Because he's not
– he's a better player than DK Metcalf.
He's not a freak of nature. He's not – I don't know if I want to say he's a better player. I just want to say he wins in a different way, which I think the way he wins lends itself more to what Drew Lock can or can't do, right? Then DK Metcalf's going to be fine. Honestly, what's going to happen is people are going to be too down on these people, and where you're going to have to spend a draft pick on them, like, it's going to be okay. Like, if Tyler Lockett's my wide receiver 4, like, I'm going to be all right. You know what I mean? I'm probably going to, and if I'm also filling in a couple running back spots before I draft them, like, sign me up, you know?
Let me ask you this. Would you send the 105 in a super flex, 105 startup, not startup, sorry, rookie pick. Would you send the 105 for DK Metcalf? So
right
basically
now?
Right now.
I'm going blind on this one, but I think yes.
I'll give you a range. That's basically the Kenneth Walker range, the Breece Hall, maybe one of those two, / Garrett Wilson, Treylon Burks.
I'm 100% doing that. Let me look that up, though.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing because I think we have to realize that,
what are you doing with that? Count.
I'm not a DK guy. So I'm gonna probably take that 104 range. Because I do like Garrett Wilson and Treylon Burks a lot. And I'm not a huge DK guy. And I have to, Dynasty, you're playing the long game, all right? If you think DK is that guy, trust the talent. It'll figure itself out.
You said 2022, 1.05.
In a super flex. That does matter because I'm going to lock in Malik Willis, QB1. Maybe you have another quarterback going earlier. I don't think another quarterback deserves to go in top 5, even in super flex, but that's a discussion for later when we start breaking down a couple weeks.
Okay, so where we've gone is DK Metcalf, huge downgrade. You're not buying. I probably am at his new cost. Tyler Lockett, huge downgrade. Do you think that DK Metcalf is more fine? So if when we're talking about like the dog meme sitting at the coffee table and there's flames around him,
this is
there's
fine.
Less – in your opinion, there are less flames for DK Metcalf than Tyler Lockett. I tend to disagree with that, but they're both sitting in the kitchen with the house is on fire.
For Dynasty in the sake of, obviously I'd still much rather have DK than Lockett in Dynasty. If we're talking redraft or entering next season, I'll just take the guy that costs less, like when ADP rolls around. Which will be Tyler Lockett, to be honest. But I don't think either of them are going to be someone I want on my team.
Yeah, you're right. It's sad, but you're right. The 1.05. What's up?
Well. I mean, there is the other side of this, and also we didn't even touch on Noah Fant, new Seahawk. Noah Fant all of a sudden stepping in.
I have a take for you.
There. Oh, please.
Before we move on, this is fine. Dog sitting at the coffee at the table. Kitchen is on fire. You said you would not move 105 for DK Metcalf.
I said I would rather have the 105.
Okay. According to Keep Trade Cut, cool resource for the viewers and listeners out there. Yeah. KeepTradeCut.com. It's like a crowdsource. Like they give you when you go to the website, they'll give you like a Keep Trade Cut. And I think the people that use the website like take those seriously because for the most part,
the rankings. Yeah.
Yeah. It's basically wisdom of the crowd market rankings for players. And that says that DK Metcalf is sitting around right whatever their scoring system is, doesn't matter. About 5,400 versus 4,906. So DK Metcalf is about Jarvis Landry more than the 1.05. So basically they said the way to even this trade out would be to add Jarvis Landry to the 1.05, which I think is interesting.
I pulled I pulled 105 just randomly out of there, and I'm very happy that that means it's essentially the right value.
Yeah. When Jarvis Landry is like the gap, you know, like
you're at this point.
You're in the right ballpark. You know what I mean? So yeah,
that's a late second, early
third. Yeah. Anyway, that's keep trade cut. Yeah. So if you have them in Dynasty, not great. But let's move on to Noah Fant. I think that's the last piece that I want to talk about with Seattle, unless you want to
talk about Rashad Penny. I don't want to talk about Seattle in general.
Let's make it real quick with Rashad Penny, Chris Carson. Like, if you – like, it was already bad enough with Russell Wilson as their quarterback. Like, with Drew Lock, like, I'm good. I'm all right. Like, I'm all set.
Volume will be good. Rashad Penny is a good player who will open the season as the starter because Chris Carson's not that guy anymore. The switch is flipped. But it's a downgrade for the whole offense. This does not mean, yay, more rushes. It means no less touchdowns. That's the story.
And thank you for saying that. So Noah Fant, interestingly enough, his situation has not changed because he's going with Drew Lock. He's the third best option on a run-first team with a bad QB. And now he's the third best option on a run first team with a bad QB who's the same QB. And I have to give credit where credit is due. This is Justin Herzig. That's a tweet from Justin Herzig.
Yeah.
Who's a good follow. He's really good. Like, he's full year best ball type guy. He like wins a lot of big tournaments, but that's true. And then it made me think, like, it's interesting. Like, I think the comparison between DK Metcalf and Cortland Sutton, pretty spot on. I think the comparison between Jerry Jeudy and Tyler Lockett, pretty spot on. Russell Wilson is also going to a team that adds to that, KJ Hamler. So tell me, any more thoughts about Noah Fant before we talk Denver stuff?
It's just, I feel bad for him, man. He didn't choose any of this. He's just like, I have to say that when you trade for someone, you're trading for them because you have a purpose to use them. I'm not in on Noah Fant. I am worried about Noah Fant. I'm pretty worried about entirely Seattle because I don't know what plan they have. The plan they have, I imagine, is drafting Malik Willis at 9. But that's a big risk if that's their whole plan because they're counting on no one jumping in front. They're counting on Malik Willis being that guy.
Yeah.
Regardless, it's not going to be good for 2022, no matter who they go to at this point.
No, we're not entertaining that idea because Malik Willis is going to the Steelers. And we're going to have fun.
At 20,
we're going to have fun, Michael. We're going to have fun.
Okay. Well, more would be talking about Denver side because the Denver side now has Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson immediately, I think, becomes a top six fantasy QB again. I think he's fallen out of that range, but now we can start talking about him back as if it was 2016. Sutton and Jeudy. I think we obviously both agree everyone on Denver is a winner. Jeudy and Sutton are both huge winners. Who are you choosing?
Because it was so cool. It was so cool to see like Jerry Jeudy like live tweeting the deal.
Yes.
That was awesome. Because he was like, because one day Aaron Rodgers, like, and then when the Aaron Rodgers news broke that he's coming back to Green Bay, like he had like a couple hours before.
Just a couple hours.
And then like a few hours later, he clearly didn't know what was going on. It was like one of those pure moments. Like, it's interesting that like, I guess they don't keep, like, I'm sure these deals move so fast that they're not going to keep like everybody in the loop like that, you know? Yeah. So anyway, like he just was like so pumped that Russell Wilson was coming to Denver. That's it. Cause like Jerry Jeudy was all of us. You know what I mean? Like we were just as surprised as he was. Cause we were like, maybe, but like they went full send way faster than everyone thought, which is those are like the funnest storylines in the NFL, I think. But you like Jerry Jeudy? Yeah.
You know, I love Jerry Jeudy. I view Jerry Jeudy as a top 12 receiver at this point. I'm not going to rank him accordingly. I'm going to be expecting him to make that leap into the top 12, top 15 at the moment. If he's not a top 15 receiver, I'm going to be incredibly disappointed. Denver will be disappointed as well.
Yeah, I think he's just that guy, man.
I really do think he's that guy.
Yeah, I think his comp is going to be Tyler Lockett. Because I think that they win in similar ways. I think Jerry Jeudy has a little bit more of like the talent factor. Like Tyler Lockett just seems like a grinder, like super talented, super underrated. But I mean, Jerry Jeudy's blue chip. You know what I mean? There's a blue chip athlete, you know? So let's see. His Tyler Lockett's career averages, which his entire career was with Russell Wilson. His career averages are, per game. I need to break this down.
It's give or take about probably 1,000 yards and 7 to 8 touchdowns. And I think the touchdowns are the real difference maker here, where I think Jerry Jeudy will make the most of his receptions. He will see volume, in my opinion. I think Sutton's going to take more of that contested catch role. Judy's going to become that trusted target immediately. But Russell Wilson throws touchdowns, man. Now the question is, how many attempts does Russell Wilson have a game? Because we haven't seen Russell Wilson air it out. And this is now a new coach as well. This is Nathaniel Hackett, previously of the Packers, who we all thought was there to bring Aaron Rodgers in. Turns out he's coaching Russell Wilson. Can't be too unhappy about that. But it is it's a pass happy coach. So do we see Russell Wilson throw it 40 times a game? They have Javonte, but I think 40 times a game is possible. That 37, 38 times a game. And that'll be great for Jeudy and Sutton, as well as, you know, the occasional DFS KJ Hamler, the dump downs to Javonte Williams, of which I'm pretty confident that Melvin Gordon's going to walk.
I mean, I don't know, man. I think they might want him back, honestly, for another year.
At this point, I think it'll come down to if he has no interest elsewhere. I think he will have interest somewhere.
Really? Okay.
I do. I get a good year. And he's a respected veteran around the league. We've seen people like that get deals until they fall off. So I'm expecting a top 12, top 15 year out of Jerry Jeudy, akin to what we've seen from Seattle receivers in the past. And that didn't have volume either. They were running it up. Russell Wilson wasn't throwing it too much. So,
One interesting thing is like Jerry Jeudy and Tyler Lockett have very similar numbers across the board. And now Jerry Jeudy, we only have really a year and a half on him. We have 5 games in 2021, but his rookie year, 16.5 yards per reception. Tyler Lockett, 16.1 yards per reception last year. So that tracks. The difference is Jerry Judy's doing that with nobodies. You know what I mean? Another major difference you brought up, like last 3 years, Tyler Lockett, 8 touchdowns, 10 touchdowns, 8 touchdowns. In a full year of play in his rookie season, Jerry Jeudy had 3 touchdowns. So the target, I don't know that the volume's going to really ramp up a whole lot, because I think KJ Hamler's going to demand plenty of targets. I think, like you said, the efficiency on him is just going to be sky high, like floor and ceiling just way up. And then, like I said, Russell Wilson's going to throw the ball to who's open too, and Jerry Jeudy's going to be open a lot. So, do you want to dive into any Courtland Sutton stuff? I think we can comp Courtland Sutton to DK Metcalf.
I think that's a fair thing to do with a little bit less explosive plays.
But where does that come out? Like, what is that? What effect does that have? Like, is that going
to
reduce?
I think it'll come down to similar to a lesser. It's an easy thing to say, but honestly, Demaryius Thomas. It reminds me in a way of that type of volume. But it's like a big body target that is going to be more reliable than you think. But it'll come down to if he gets a touchdown, you're going to be ecstatic. If he doesn't, you're going to be all right. That's what I think. Which means he's a top 18 type of guy with top 10, top 12 ceiling. Top seven ceiling even. But I mean, the last name I think we should talk about real quick though, Albert, I'm not going to try to pronounce the name, tight end out of Mizzou. He was a fourth round pick in 2020. No fan is gone. A lot of people are talking about Albert O as a new top 10 dynasty tight end. He got drafted immediately.
I mean, he's probably, I mean, there's so many talented receivers. You know what I mean? Like, this is a rare occurrence of like too many mouths to feed, like actually being a problem. Like top elite. I mean, because basically right now, like I truly believe, like unless the game evolves like a lot, in the next few years. I truly believe at any given time, we're only really going to have a handful of elite tight end difference makers, you know?
Sure.
So,
And
because like their
yeah.
careers are so short, you know, like the lifetime of the lifespan of like an elite tight end is much shorter than the other positions. But basically what I want to say is the likelihood of Albert O hitting that like George Kittle tier, you know, hitting that even Dalton Schultz tier, honestly, is low simply because he's probably the fifth option. The fifth option, maybe sixth if you count the running backs.
Yeah, and I think
So,
the really interesting thing is though, like, yeah, I agree that projecting him as the top five as a huge breakout might be a little bit too much. And I don't know if he's that guy, period. I mean, he was a day three pick for a reason. You know, George Kittle was also a day three pick. But the point though is, can he score? As we have seen
Yeah.
countless tight ends and an absurd amount of guys over the years where it does not matter if they're good. It doesn't matter if they see volume, but if they score 8 to 10 touchdowns, that we
Yeah.
saw with Jimmy G and Jimmy G. We saw with Jimmy Graham and Russell Wilson in 2017-18. We saw it with Dawson Knox this past year. We saw it with Eric Ebron for multiple years. Those guys were
Yeah.
not good, or Jimmy Graham at that point in his career was not good, but can he score? So I think Albert O is an interesting streamer. I think projecting him as anything more than that, it's going to come down to touchdowns. And if Denver can make the
Yeah.
leap to the top tier offense, we think they can.
I think I'm putting Albert O in the same category as Pat Freiermuth, in the sense that like Pat Freiermuth has to compete with Juju still,
Yeah.
right? Not Pat Freiermuth with Claypool and Deontay only. You know what I mean? I'm putting him in this that same bucket because like I think Pat Freiermuth is more talented than Albert O. Shout out Penn State. But
Absolutely.
he also has like the draft capital. Actually, Albert O was taken second round.
Fourth round. Fourth round.
Okay, yeah. So Pat Freiermuth definitely has a draft capital, and but there's obviously like we have no idea what the Steelers are going to do at quarterback, and it's probably not good. So downgrading quarterback, upgrade for Pat Freiermuth in terms of like target competition, even with Juju. And Albert O, like the only plus he gets in terms of like his comparing him to Pat Freiermuth is like he's going to have Russell Wilson, but he's also going to have a lot more competition, which
Yeah.
I do think that like Russell Wilson can only do so much for one player, you know? And I think it's going to be still hard for him to like earn targets in that offense just because it's going to be so explosive. And Courtland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy and KJ Hamler, who we could talk about him next, like they're going to get theirs. You know what I mean? Like that's the focus of the passing offense, not Alberto.
Yeah, I'm not as convinced that KJ will, but either way, and he's it's someone to keep an eye out for. If he's on your
Dude,
wire some
I'm
dynasty leagues,
all over
pick
him,
him
man.
up. But I mean, we have to keep moving. Got to get to Carson Wentz, the new commander. Commander Wentz, Commander Carson is probably the better way to say it. The Colts traded 2/3, or what's it called? The Washington traded 2/3 to take on Wentz, as well as taking on his entire contract, which includes a $5 million bonus that gets paid out next week. Carson Wentz is now in Washington on his third team in as many years, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah, it's an interesting move. I like it for both sides. I think the Colts and Wentz kind of reached that amicable divorce of over a year of like, listen, neither of us want this anymore. Let's see what we can get. You get a fresh start. I get some picks. I can relook at the position. So, I think for
I would
Carson
be
Wentz to run it, sorry, go for it.
it's a catch 22 though. For me, I'm thinking about like Carson Wentz. My first reaction is Redskins, or sorry, Commanders, pardon me. He's going to come back to Philly twice a year, or sorry, once a year.
Yeah,
That's
he's
already
going to
not
be
great
back
for
in
him.
Philly.
That's a huge
That's
loss
awesome.
for Carson Wentz. That's a huge loss for Carson Wentz. He has to come back to
Oh.
Philly once a year, and that's going to be hard for him. Like I'm like only half joking. Like I'll
Philly
probably go
fans
to
should
that
be
game
embracing him,
for
man. Philly fans
yeah for.
don't Philly fans
They might
don't
come
agree
around on him. Dude, you
they
actually, you
should.
know what? Like they're just so miserable. Philly fans that like they're like come back, Carson. Anyway, then like I actually started thinking like with my real brain and not like my lizard brain. And Ron Rivera is the coach of the Commanders. Ron Rivera, I don't. Carson Wentz is not Cam Newton, but I think Carson Wentz can be used like Cam Newton was at the goal line. So.
I don't know, man. I don't know if I mean, they didn't use, did they use Taylor Heineke like that? And I think Taylor Heineke had more left on his body than Carson Wentz does.
I mean, size-wise, like Carson Wentz. I
Size-wise,
anyways, so
physicality.
yeah. We'll definitely. I mean, I don't think Carson Wentz. We should downgrade him at all specifically. So, tell me a little bit more about the Colts situation. Like, what are they going to do at quarterback?
The answer is that we don't know. The like what they have now is they have extra assets, and so they could look at a Jimmy G, or they could just draft. They could draft somebody. They could trade up because now they don't have a first. They don't have a first round pick. They spent that on Wentz. So what they could do is utilize these picks to try to trade up, take a Matt Corral, maybe a Sam Howell. Who knows? Kenny Pickett, if he slips, as we can touch on a little bit later. So it's interesting because we don't know who's going to be the starter for Indy. Either way, it's a downgrade for Michael Pittman because Michael Pittman's a great receiver in my opinion, but he did really thrive on touchdowns. Carson Wentz, knock him as you will, he had a pretty good year before he crumbled at the end, and that's a lot of instability. Carson Wentz kept the turnovers down. He threw the touchdowns. He was good for that team for 10 to 12 weeks. I understand moving on, but for fantasy, it just makes it incredibly volatile for all indie pass catchers. You want
He'll
to touch on the
probably,
Washington side?
yeah, I mean, you're not gonna, you're gonna be able to stream Carson Wentz this year, and I think you're gonna be able to stream him in good spots. As far as the Colts go, like they're building that team around Jonathan Taylor, which I don't think is a great idea, but it's probably okay for another year or two. I think they realize that they don't need to pay up because you got to pay up a little bit for Carson Wentz. Like I mean, they might think they can run their offense with Sam Ellinger, which I don't think is a great idea again. But yeah, I think that this is a huge red flag for Michael Pittman and any other pass catcher on Indy because, again, they're not really committing to the passing game right now, and there's no hope in sight. And then in terms of the Commanders, like upgrade. I mean, I do think that Carson Wentz is better than Taylor Heineke, and that's what it
Has to
boils
be.
down to
Yes,
in terms of
definitely is.
Commander wide receiver value. You know, it'll be fun to see Carson Wentz chuck it to Terry McLaurin.
Oh yeah. It'll be fun, it'll be painful, it'll be all of the above. Terry McLaurin, this is definitely an upgrade for Terry. I feel like we've said every single offseason,
Taylor
this is the
McLaurin.
best quarterback Terry's got to play with. It's unfair. He's getting the DJ Moore treatment.
I just got a
But
random flashback to Taylor Heineke, like just throwing an absolute hospital ball to Terry McLaurin, like towards
I
the
got
end
a
of the year.
random, yeah. I got a random flashback to like the day when Ryan Fitzpatrick was like signed, and we were just like, "Yay, there we go, the best QB," and he never got to suit up for them.
Yeah, it's a shame.
But it, I mean, Carson Wentz is a big upgrade for Terry McLaurin, and those up, those inconsistencies, they might stay. Michael Pittman wasn't playable every single week.
Yeah,
Carson
I mean,
Wentz is going to be,
we know who Carson
we
Wentz
know who
is.
Carson Wentz is at this point, which is
Yeah.
good, but not. It's not going
Not
to be
great.
fantastic. Is there anyone else you're?
He's slightly above replacement level. I mean, I'm not really in on any of the other guys. Antonio Gibson, I mean, JD McKissick's still going to be there, I think, which is a bummer, but
All in all, it's
yeah.
the offense. It does give me some hope for the return of Logan Thomas, because of Carson Wentz's affinity for targeting the tight end. I'm also going to keep a dynasty deep eye on John Bates, the old but was a rookie last year who flashed some playmaking abilities, had some mean stiff arms out there late in the year. When Logan Thomas went down, John Bates had some decent games. It's someone to keep an eye out for in tight end premium, super deep formats. If he breaks out, I'm going to victory lap it. If not, it was a super deep format. So
Yeah. We won't tell anybody if he doesn't. I will
no.
only su we were only victory lap the stuff we're right about. But yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty straightforward. Like, if you're holding any Commanders skill position players, like you're feeling good. If you're holding any Colts position players, like you're not feeling great. So maybe except for Jonathan Taylor, because you're going to be okay no matter what if you have him. But yeah, we can move on to the next thing. What else do you want to talk about?
Well, let's quickly touch on the Aaron Rodgers deal. As we aforementioned, we brought up Aaron Rodgers signed for what, 4 years, $200 million, a $50 million deal a year. You know, set that record. Good for you, Rodgers. Ipso facto, we'll touch on it for like a minute. The franchise tags, Davante Adams was consequently franchise tagged. It's a lot of status quo in Green Bay.
Do
you have any fantasy changes for Green Bay? Because honestly, this is a lifesaver for Aaron Jones, who was left for dead over the last month in terms of
value. We can essentially copy and paste our projections from last year for Green Bay, just copy and paste them over, you know?
Yeah,
this is in terms of like actionable information, this is non-news, even though it's such big fan, like real football news, you know? So again, you're relieved. As I mean, I have Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams on a dynasty championship team, and we're running it back one more year. How about it?
Exactly. And all of this news we just talked about, the Wentz, the Wilson, the Rodgers, it washed out the sour taste of Calvin Ridley being suspended for a whole year, which is brutal. Just a couple of days after he tweeted out that ball is life with a football out there on his Twitter, first return from social media since he left in October, and now he is suspended for betting on games. He bet on the Falcons winning, which is a terrible bet, and he bet on his own team. So,
yeah,
I expect I'd be shocked if any appeal wins.
Unfortunately, he picked the wrong time to make some like donkey bets. He was doing like eight leg parlays. If you're doing 8 leg parlays and like seriously putting money into them, stop. Also, call a mental health.
Just don't do it if you're an NFL star. Why?
Yeah,
You're gonna make millions. Now you're making nothing. And whatever.
It's a
frustrating move.
The arguments that are kind of defending him are dumb because, like,
they are.
At the end of the day, like. He deserves to sit out for a year. I think it's appropriate. Makes sense to me.
Yep.
You know what I mean? We can't sacrifice the integrity of the game. On the other hand, like, yeah, it's the type of thing. Like, even if it was a dollar, it doesn't matter. If people are trying to like use the amount that he was betting like as a way to justify it, like, no.
There's no justification here. It's a violation of the league's integrity. I understand the decision. All that matters for fantasy is that he will be gone until next year. Now, I think Dynasty, I don't think we even need to touch on it because there's one collective decision. You want to say it on three? One, two, three, hold.
I guess.
Yeah. In terms of you cannot buy him because you're not – nobody's selling him for a late third, and you're not able to get more than a third.
I mean, if your team is bad, there's like a specific team in my – like one of my league, like my main dynasty league, like they have no prayer. Like you should be buying then. And if you have someone in your league, like it might not be a bad idea to be like, hey, like no offense. Like I know you're tanking. Like give me, oh man.
I was offered Paris Campbell and Jared Patterson. That's the problem. That's where the market is. And like I think some people will offer you a second, but do I even
want to? I'm saying like I would approach it like I would be like, hey, we both know you're like tanking. You know what I mean? Because sometimes there's teams that like are open about tanking. Like, what does this look like to you? And then like you aim for like a really like, I don't know, like Antonio Brown last year is like a great example of someone I feel like I would make a move for on a win now team. You know, but I can't think of like who's 2022's version of that type of veteran would be, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, also for fantasy, it's, you know, it's status quo in terms of Calvin Ridley was not going to be a Falcon. So you can still project the Falcons as you were going to project them. This is not an uptick for Kyle Pitts. This is what we expected for other teams around the league. It's a collective.
Yeah. Don't double count it. Yeah. Don't. Yeah.
Nobody's getting Calvin Ridley, so it's upsetting for the Jalen Hurts hopes, the Zach Wilson hopes, the Justin Fields, the Mac Jones. In fact, all the first round quarterbacks from last year that were hoping to get Calvin Ridley will not be getting Calvin Ridley. But I mean, ultimately, it doesn't change much outside of people that were invested in Ridley. Like myself, I sent Amon-Ra and Dalton Schultz for Ridley, Juju, and Kylan Granson a month ago, of which Kylan Granson should be picked up, by the way.
That's sharp. He's a backup tight end for
Indianapolis.
The Colts. I mean, with the current news.
And that, yeah, it's a collective.
It's like a 5-year plan type of buy. You know what I mean? Like you're going to buy that and like sit on it for a while.
For the Ridley news, I was incredibly upset. And Jairo retired. I was like, oh, you know, that's great for Granton. I'm smart to pick him up. And then Carson Wentz gets traded. And then I was like, well, you know, whatever. But either way, let's move on to just running through some franchise tags. The deadline passed for that. So the following players were franchise tag: Chris Godwin, Davante Adams, David Njoku, Dalton Schultz, Mike Gesicki. I took some time and went back to see the last time an offseason included two tight ends that were franchise tagged in the same offseason. I went back to 2000. Did not happen in that span. We had three this time, and they owe their paychecks to Travis Kelce.
So I don't understand like that side of it too much, but that's interesting. That it's interesting because Gesicki is not really a tight end.
No, he's not.
He's just a big wide receiver. So it makes sense that he, like, his salary makes sense if you think of him as kind of like a hybrid player that kind of confuses defenses, maybe. It'll be interesting to see how their new head coach, Mike McDaniel, handles him, because he did say some things about maybe putting him in line to block a little bit. And, like, that's not good. But anyway, yeah. Who else got tagged? You said Dalton Schultz.
Dalton Schultz, which was, again, status quo. You treat him how he did last year. How would you project him forward? Amari Cooper got cut as well, of which you can find my article on that on IDP, guys, and the results of that. I expect Mike Gallup to come back and Cedric Wilson to come back on a team-friendly deal. But Dalton Schultz should be a pretty strong asset for 2022 and beyond.
Yeah. Amari Cooper's going to the Patriots, by the way. Amari Cooper's going to the Patriots.
Man, I don't know where he ends up, but I think he could be a Dolphin. I think if I had to choose, I'd say he goes to Miami.
Interesting. Okay.
But David Njoku got a tag, which was – I don't understand spending a first-round pick on someone, barely using him, and then paying him $11 million at the end of the deal. They didn't even pick up his fifth-year option.
It's a good sign. It's a good sign. They also they don't have any wide receivers. Jarvis Landry's a free agent, isn't he?
Jarvis Landry is a free agent. It's a good decision for it's ultimately good for David Njoku because he's the only show in town. A financial commitment of $11 million speaks volumes. You know he can't block. So I think he's going to be used in that way.
He can't block? I didn't know that.
He can't block. He's an uber athletic tight end that they ask Austin Hooper to block. They ask Harrison Bryant to block. There's no sense
in asking Njoku to block. That's funny.
He fits. It's good for fantasy for him. The problem is, can Baker Mayfield get him the ball? Do they have enough passing
attack? Yeah.
So is it there even a market to be happy about if he is the sole show?
Dude, I'm gonna be all over David Njoku for a couple of reasons, and we can maybe close out with this because I think this is actually a pretty good take. Typically, like, it is not rare to see, like, Kyle Pitts is an outlier. He's the exception, not the rule. Like, tight ends typically take up to 5 years to, like, they usually hit their most productive, like, fantasy parts of their careers on a second contract, which is, this is happening for David Njoku. You can explain away the lack of production by the fact that sometimes it takes tight ends a while to get up to the NFL speed. I believe David Njoku started playing football late in life as well. I feel like he played other sports. But also, like, it wouldn't surprise me if David Njoku is the Browns' number one wide receiver, and I don't care how bad Baker Mayfield is. Like, that's super valuable. It is rare to have a tight end be your number one wide receiver, and when that happens, we print fantasy football points. So I'll leave you with that. I love that you said he can't block for some reason. It makes me laugh.
It's a good thing, honestly.
It explains a lot.
Yeah. And I do want to take 5 minutes to touch on the combine and things like that that happened last week. This is from college to combine, so I feel disrespectful to not touch on it real
quick.
Yeah, we
can't disrespect the title.
That would be wrong. But David Njoku is athletic. He has volume, or he has target share, rather. The question is how many targets, but you're right. If he is the number one show in town, people should be interested. And I still don't see him getting a lot of draft investment come startup time. So he will be a nice little late round target for me as well. But let's dive into the combine real quick. Obviously, we're not going to harp on it too long just because, A, we're running long. B, it's a week now. We have talked about it. You can read my articles on it. You can read my Twitter threads on it. But Kenny Pickett, let's start with that. Kenny Pickett's hands, small. They're small hands. They're like my hands. 8.5-inch hands. He's got 8.5-inch hands. All the jokes have been made. I think it's a huge deal. Some people are explaining it away of saying, yeah, well, you know, he just did it at Pittsburgh. It's unfriendly already. He's, you know, he's produced. He's done it.
Yeah,
the NFL ball gets bigger.
Fumbles.
Go on.
He had 38 fumbles. He wasn't okay with it. You know what I mean? Like, it's pretty, like, I'm down on Kenny Pickett for a lot of reasons. Hand size matters. Sorry, it does. It's one of those metrics that actually matters. Like I mentioned before, Russell Wilson, 10.5-inch hand, and you can see a real effect that he can sling the ball downfield more accurately than anybody else in the league. It is one of the most predictive measures for quarterback EPA in the data analytics community. It's wild.
Yep.
So, yeah, not good.
And just because Joe Burrow is great with small hands doesn't mean every quarterback with small hands will be great. There is,
but Joe Burrow's hands are what, like 8.875? Like, that
give
difference
or take,
is significant. Yeah.
Sure.
That's significant.
And Kenny Pickett, the NFL ball is bigger than the college ball. This isn't the same translation of he's done it, so why can't he keep doing it? The ball gets bigger. The game gets faster. It just hurts processing. It hurts gripping it. The weather is still going to be unfriendly. It's just a bad combination. I haven't seen anything to suggest it would hurt his draft stock, but I'd be really surprised if it doesn't.
No, I mean, that's the thing. Like, if NFL teams don't care about it, I mean, and he's going to be a buy low, like, I'm in. You know what I mean? Like, if he goes like early first round, like, I'm probably buying.
I don't see a world he goes, not a world. I don't think he'll go earlier than the back half of the first. I think he won't. I think he'll get in the first round, but it'll be in that 20 and beyond range.
Yeah, people are over. It's weird, man. It's weird. It's going to be interesting to see if the fantasy football market is like valuing this piece of information correctly. I think they might be, but we'll see.
And let's quickly move on to the running back of the draft. There were three that got headlines, all for somewhat different reasons. Tyron Williams is too small, and I'm not interested. And I talked about him on a running back show. Of course, Nick wasn't here for that, but I talked about how I did not like Kyron Williams. I didn't think he was athletic enough. I thought he was too small. He came in, measured at 5'9", 195, infamously ran a 4'7 plus, did not measure well in any other metric as well athletically. I am so hands-off of Kyron Williams. I don't care if he surprisingly gets day two draft investment. I'm done with Kyron Williams. His route is to be as a pass protector and a pass catcher. I'm not counting on that because I don't think he's athletic enough.
Yeah. What we would need for me to be in on him at all, because he is not in a bucket with any successful NFL football players with those measurables. There's literally no one. He would be the first. Not a great idea to bet on those types of players. However, I'm making that bet if he's a day two pick, which I'm pretty sure he's not going to be with those numbers. But if he surprises us and goes higher than we think, like that, like I said, I think it's so important to understand that our observations of what happens in the combine, we have less access to information than the NFL. Therefore, if the NFL is high on someone, higher than someone than you are, you should notice that. So that's I think a big lesson to take away, because it's so easy to think that you know better than these NFL teams when we don't. They make a lot of bad decisions, don't get me wrong. But when it comes to this stuff, their nerds are like on this. Like, this is, they're putting a lot of money and resources into figuring this stuff out.
Absolutely. And for reference, I had him as my, I think my RB6 pre-combine. He's slipped to my RB8. And I am tempted to put him behind Brian Robinson, which would be my RB9. Rashad White was someone who rose after that. I thought he had a good combine, tested well. Fast guy as I expected. I do like I'm starting to rise on Rashad White. And people are talking about Breece Hall versus Kenneth Walker. We talked about it on our show. I don't think you can make a wrong decision. Breece Hall is probably safer because he's shown that he's a receiver. Kenneth Walker still has to prove that. I think Kenneth Walker is more explosive as a runner. I don't think you're picking wrong with either of them. Do you have a preference?
I'm gonna let Draft Capital make that decision for me. And it's probably going to be
Yep.
Breece Hall. Honestly, that matters more than anything. Situation where they land also matters a little bit, but like I said, I'm going to let Draft Capital kind of drive my decision making process with that, which is going to be my like boring answer for most of these. One thing I did want to ask you about, because he's not on this list of people that you put, is Sky Moore, which he's getting a lot of buzz in the fantasy football community. And this is like that player that we're kind of rooting for to get good draft capital, because if we can plug in like a day two pick or even or like late first pick for him, like he's gonna shoot into these like really cool like fantasy football tiers of prospects. Like let's get excited about this guy type of prospect.
Yeah, and we will. I'm going to break down all the receivers, of which I don't anticipate Sky Moore jumping in my top five. So he will be on next week's show when Riley returns, and I'm back there as well. But to do a quick little tease, he's a great route runner. I think he's got solid hands. The size is a little bit of an issue. He's a little bit undersized. Was projected as that slot guy, but I am interested because he packs the defender's back really well. His footwork is really great. He high points it when he needs to. It won't be a big part of his game. He's elusive. He's held back physically, but that doesn't mean he's not technically sound.
I think he tested better than we expected. That's why we like him. I also think we just want him to succeed. And I say we, the data nerds. His name's Sky Moore, and he's a wide receiver.
Yeah, it's
That's
awesome.
cool. That's cool. That's cool.
Yeah. But to quickly
But
dive through some other names. Christian Watson crushed it as we honestly expected, just because he's a physical freak, analytic darling. As the pro analytic guy, of course we're both analytic guys, but like you're the nerd of us too, you know.
Yeah,
So
I will say
how do you feel about Christian Watson?
it's concerning that he didn't put up big numbers at NDSU,
Yeah.
North Dakota State. That can be explained away by just the type of offense that they run. I don't know though. I mean, he doesn't have like he's testing really well, and I think he's exciting, and he's made some big flashy plays in college, but like the college production's not there.
It
It's a
reminds me
pretty
of Terrace
big,
Marshall a little
yeah.
bit. It reminds me of Terrace Marshall a little bit. And
Yeah.
I think I like Car I did not like Terrace Marshall. Do view Christian Watson a little bit higher, but I mean he's a physical guy that's gonna really refine his game, but he did not really do too much of it. Maybe it's
Yeah.
more like DPJ, where
I
we
think
expected more than what he is.
if I have to put a bet on someone who just tested freakishly well and like
Oh,
didn't
yeah.
really have the production, like I don't know if Christian Watson's like that guy. Again, draft capital will help determine a lot of things for me, but Alec Pierce, did you put him down here? He's basically Martavis Bryant, like
That's
from
I can't
testing.
wait to take a deeper look at him over the next week.
He has no college production, which is weird. Like
Yeah.
zero college production.
It's weird, especially when you have a first round, second round talent in Desmond Ridder.
But he's and he like was a pretty like solid prospect coming out of high school. But anyway, he's not on the list. I'll be tuning in to see what you have to say about him.
Yeah. At the very least, Liberty's Malik Willis. I don't need to say Liberty's. Malik Willis is cementing himself as the QB1 of this class, pretty much. Based on mobility, he showed off his arm at the combine. Having good mobility, having a huge arm, being a good person. We saw there was a viral clip that saw him give to a homeless person right in Indy. Nobody was watching. He did on his own. And Malik Willis was also pressed in interviews, yet that was the biggest pro of him coming out of senior day, the Senior Bowl. So Malik Willis is really starting to step up. Again, our QB show will come in about 3 to 4 weeks. We'll start breaking those guys down, and Malik Willis will probably top the list.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. But I also I think that says more about this QB class than it does about Malik
100%.
Willis.
100%.
Yeah. I'm rooting for him because, like you said, he's a good dude. Like, I'd love for him to – let's get weird, Steelers. You know what I mean? Is what I'm saying. Because Mike Tomlin has shown interest and been public about having interest in Malik Willis. It also fits kind of like the Steeler brand to kind of give a guy like that a shot in terms of like
a good like guy.
Ben Roethlisberger was like a small school guy, you know?
Yeah, I
understand what you're talking about.
Yeah, too. I was making a joke on the difference there, but
it definitely would be a culture shift in terms of like morality underneath center. But I think he's gonna have super high draft capital, and because of that, I'll be interested. You're not gonna sneak Malik Willis by anybody in terms of like getting a value on him. Not now, like. If anything,
value on him. I think there's a real world Seattle traded up to 9 just for him. So Malik Willis will be a really interesting guy to see where he ends up. And for fantasy, given his mobility, his arm, his draft investment, he's going to be the first pick or should be the first pick of Superflex drafts. Definitely someone to you should be keeping in your book. And to quickly touch on it because we have a tight end show for this and also not a lot of information on him before. Jelani Woods, and I hope I'm not mispronouncing that, but out of Virginia, the tight end is 6'7". He put up 24 on the bench press, which was the most for someone at that size at tight end, and he ran a 4.61. I'm not saying he's anything. He was originally going to be a day 3 pick, but those are really good numbers that you should be keeping in the back of your mind because that's an athletic profile. That's somebody who blocked in college before moving on to a receiver. It was Virginia, to be fair, but it's something at the very least. It's a name to keep an eye for, especially in premium formats.
Yeah, I mean, he fits the athletic profile for sure and has enough college production that I'm in. Dawson Knox had like 0 college production, and I probably is smaller and maybe like growing on the freak score, like the spark score range, like not as good of an athlete. Like we've seen this happen. Like not a lot, but yeah, I'm in. Like he's probably gonna be pretty cheap, and I don't really care where he goes, day 2, day 3 for that type of prospect. Like I don't care, you know what I mean? That's a rare thing. Like, but if he does go day 2, like you're gonna see him like skyrocket. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you everyone for. Oh wow, my voice has been all over the place. So thank you guys for tuning in, listening to us for all this time. I know we went a little bit longer, but there's a lot to touch on. So, next week, we're going to actually break down the wide receiver 10 through 6 when Riley returns from Atlantic City. Thank you again to my co-host tonight, Nick Grohl. Thank you for stepping in. Late notice. Killed it tonight.
We had a lot to unpack.
Yep, and you can follow him at run_the_Sims. On Twitter, you can follow me at Michael__Ciccoli. I had 2 underscores because, again, I was too late to it. About a minute is pulling the pain, brought to you by Frequency Take. So, any other final words you want to give us, Nick?
I got to go eat. I'm starving. But this was fun. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. Sorry. I am bad on the send-offs. This is now several weeks of me messing this up. Either way, those are inspirational words. I'll see you all next week, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. Have a good one.
Okay, guys.